Mr. Carnevale, what are we doing in the garden this weekend?
Mr. Carnevale. That's my dad.
Okay then. Carnevale, what are we doing?
Yeah, there's so many plants that have gone in that may be suffering now that we're expecting a little bit more warmth and a little less air movement than we've had. Yep. So look, it's not too late with any of those crops to replant them. People have had patchy germination with things like their corn. So, you know, it could be a water issue, but chuck some seed in. They'll catch up, you know, depending on where your plants are now. I'm loving the perennial gardens, the Astromerias. If you do have Astromerias, by the way, the tall ones, you know, a lot of people have the short Peruvian lilies, but in this kind of wind, they can blow over. So a simple structure made out of wire, just a little hoop that can stick in the ground, and that can actually hold them up and, you know, keep them looking nice and wonderful. I love Astromerias at the back of like a border. They just look fantastic. But the roses we have here, yeah. I mean, I've grown up as a landscape maintenance or garden maintenance person, kind of having a bit of a love-hate relationship with roses, but it's at this time when you see them around that they're fantastic. They're something we do exceptionally well, and we should really cherish that. But, you know, there's so many of those good perennials that are coming out in flower, geums, little sort of orange flowers on them, the linoleum. It's a time of year, I suppose, where you can walk around your neighbourhood and you can have a look at those flowers and you can start to get inspired and think, you know what, that would work really well in that spot in my garden. So, and walking around your neighbourhood's a great way if you're just new to the neighbourhood or even if you're just looking for that bit of inspiration. It's a great way of seeing what'll do well in your area. So, I love it at this time of the year. You know, protecting those plants from the wind, protecting them from the cold is important. There's a lot of fruit trees coming into fruit. Thinning out of some of that fruit may be your best option. Some trees will hold a good amount. You can look at your tree, see how healthy it is and how well the fruit's doing on it. But by thinning out some fruit, you're increasing the quality of the ones that you're leaving. And when you're coming to things like stone fruit, where say apricots, where you've got things like brown rot, having that fruit knocked off so they're not touching can actually mean that you get some of a crop if that's what your problem has been in the past. Seeing a lot of viral problems around. So if you are seeing, certainly on tomatoes, etc., if you are seeing viral problems on annual plants, just rip them out and start again. On perennial plants, things like mosaic virus on your roses, the best thing you can do is really, well, kind of leave them. You can pick those affected leaves off if they look ugly, but really it's a viral problem, so it's in the plant. So best thing you can do is just give it some nice water, some nice food, sing to it every night, and tuck it into
bed. Go and breathe on it. give it some CO2.
Out there on a cold night, just breathing on the roses. Just watch how spiky they bite.
Nathan in Blackmans Bay, what can we do for you?
I had a question for Tino. I've got a pretty healthy silver birch tree, which has got some fairly large surface roots growing through or growing across where I'm redoing the driveway, and I was wondering if it's going to affect the tree too much if I was to get it rid of a couple of those bigger roots.
Currently, you're going to have a negative effect on it. Given a decent amount of water, if you make the cuts nice and clean, the tree will survive. You might get a little bit of dieback, so just watch out for that. You can do it fine during winter months when they're in the dormancy. They won't mind it at all. But certainly during the summer months, as they're in full growth, you might have a bit of a bad effect on your tree, sorry mate, but with a good amount of water you should be okay. The tree should recover.
Okay.
So just watch out for, you know, the leaves on the tips, and just see if they start to really wilt, give it water. So should be okay.
It is quite a mature tree. It's about sort of 20 foot high, so is that going to, same sort of process?
Look, with something that high, the tree will probably survive quite well. The only issue I'd have with is your wind coming from the direction where you're cutting the roots off. Because if it is a strong wind, what can happen with shearing roots off on one side of a tree is that's anchoring it to the ground on that windward side, and then you get a strong wind, it can actually push the tree over. So
a stake
might even be a good option if it is to the windward side. If it's not, then don't worry too much about it. But yeah, a good stake sort of, or a couple of stakes lower down might even be a good option, star droppers, if that's applicable.
All right,
so.
Great. Thanks very much.
Righty, mate. No, not a problem.
Cheers, Nathan. Thank you very much for your call this morning. Sandra is in Launceston. Good morning, Sandra.
Oh, good morning. Joel and Tino, I wanted to talk about raspberries, please.
Yes, yep. Yum.
I've been here about 5 years in Launceston, and there was a sort of a garden patch here, a raspberry patch, but I grew new plants, and 2 years ago I had like great big massive green bushes and lovely big raspberries. But yep. Last year they sort of started to look as though they were drying up, and I thought, well, I didn't water them enough. So I put a sprinkler system on this year.
Yep.
So that's not the problem. But the leaves, I've got a couple of decent bushes, but the leaves are going brown on the outside, and then the inside of the leaf is sort of not going from dark green to light green, and then yellowing, and then they just dry up and die.
Right. Is the water spraying over the leaves at all? Is that?
No, it's a sprinkler system down on the ground. Yeah.
On the ground, cool. Yeah, because they really don't like a lot of water over the foliage. And is your soil quite a heavy? Whereabouts are you? Sorry.
In Youngtown.
Youngtown, right. Is your soil quite all right there, isn't it? Too heavy.
I don't dig it because they say not to dig ground raspberries.
Yeah.
It makes them sucker everywhere. So I just sort of layer the manure on it over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it sounds like a water issue again. You might be going the other way with too much water. Is the ground staying wet?
No.
No, so it is drying out. Then, yep. Look, it could be, and they're quite dense. Is the growth quite dense on them?
Oh, well, there's only about two that are really any good, but they just don't look healthy. I did look about rust it's not rust, and my daughter saw on the internet a disease called mosaic.
Well, mosaic virus, and there's been a bit of that around, usually in roses and tomatoes. There's tobacco mosaic, so if anyone's a smoker and they touch the leaves, sometimes that can be transferred through it, but there are many forms of mosaic virus. So, and that's where if you have a garden, if anyone's suffering from it, always wash your hands before you go into your garden if you've got mosaic virus on stuff. It could be, but that usually shows up as a bit of, like a mosaic, there'll be blocks in the leaf that'll go sort of yellow, and then other parts will be green. Is that, that's, it sounds
yeah,
like yours.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. Yep. It's not rust because it hasn't got any raised up pieces, but it's the leaves sort of go from green to yellow, and they do look a bit opaque.
Right, yeah, look, it could be a mosaic virus. As I said, there's many forms of them as well, and raspberries are affected by them. If that's the case, viruses, there's not really too much we can do about a virus in a plant. Some years will be worse than others. You can persist with them, and your tree can, oh, yep, sorry, your raspberry cane can get more vigour in years to come, but you might be better off just starting again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did start with some new ones to replace ones last year, but they say in the books to buy plants that are resistant to mosaic disease, but how do you know which ones are?
Look, some of the newer varieties are more resistant, but I think we covered sort of last week where, the resistances, it's kind of like the flu. Some of us get the flu all the time and some of us never get the flu. We're all still susceptible to the flu. So it's the same with the virus that the more resistant ones can still get it, I suppose. But you're probably looking at ones like chilliwack and chilcotton, or even the Willamette might be a good option for you. But certainly with your next lot of raspberries that you put in, though, obviously cultivate the ground well first, getting any of those old roots and old stolons out, or those old bits of a raspberry out, and then before you replant. And I'd probably even give the ground a bit of time in the sun, fallow, just to see if you are planting in the same spot. If you can find another spot, all well and good. But, yeah, I'd be replanting next season or so. Sorry, mate. but you could try and persist. You could try and give them a good amount of food, some potash, and you could try and keep the water up to them. But if you've got a virus, then, yeah. If you can send us a photo in, actually.
It's really the equivalent of chicken soup and a warm blanket, isn't it? You know, you're feeding it as well as you can and watering it as well as you can and hoping its natural resistance can come through. And if it doesn't, well...
triage.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Or raspberry-age.
Best of luck, Sandra.
Okay, thanks for all that.
Piranha in Wynyard. Hello there.
I've got a question about a lemon tree.
Aha!
But it was on the farm when we moved to it. It's a very big old, looks like a Lisbon lemon.
Yep.
But what's happened is the rats have been eating the bark.
Yes.
And it's now down to quite a few thin strips.
Yes.
And I don't know whether it's worthwhile printing it back and saying, can you live, or whether we just need to go again.
Well, if you can trace up from the base, if there's still cambium, like if there's still that green layer under the bark that is travelling up through the tree, there's still flow. So the tree will still live that way. You might lose some branches where there's not any cambium on that side, but generally the tree can still support itself. So if possible, solve the problem by barrier protection, however you choose to do that, and then
any
give it
suggestions?
Good rat. There's a rat and mouse and snake, I think, meshing, which is a small... I think 2 centimeter square mesh, that could do the trick. But I'd probably dig it into the ground or put some kind of skirt on the base of it just to, because rodents will dig, obviously, and they'll get in underneath it. So putting a little skirt or re-skirt on it, you know, out about 20 centimeters is usually a good idea. You could build something a little bit more structural out of even corrugated iron or something and dig that in, and that can be effective. But usually the mesh with a couple of, you know, solid stakes is enough. And once you've solved that problem, then yeah, I would probably leave it. Any long growth I'd probably cut back and keep in check and try and get the tree to sort of spurn a bit more growth lower down. And if you have to remove major limbs, if they have died off, remove them, and then hopefully you'll get regrowth out from the trunk. And you can rehabilitate a tree like that. And citrus being, well, citrus, if they do well, they do really well, you know, and they will bush out very quickly. So give them a feed and give them a water, and you can push a little bit of growth along, and then hopefully you can then, it won't be till next year, you can start to trim to back to shape if you have to be brutal.
Because it's probably about 3-4 metres tall.
Yep.
So it's a big old tree.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are all the main branches still alive? Are they still sort of...
No, there's probably only half of them.
Yeah, look, yeah, I'd be cutting all the dead stuff back to where you can use your thumb and forefinger or anything sharp and just scrape back a bit of bark, find a little bit of green and cut to a bud or a good bit of strong growth from there, and that will be fine. If there is no strong growth, then just cutting back to the main trunk or back to the then you'll hopefully promote a little bit more growth out from that trunk. And if you do on the side that is, or the branches that are still alive, you could take them back, cut them back by about a third, and hopefully you'll push more growth further down, and that way you'll get a shape of your tree, an open shape of your tree, that the tree will hopefully survive and live for another 20 years and give you yummy lemons, perhaps.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much.
Brilliant, thank you very much. Right. Have a lovely day.
Best of luck.
Cliff is in Strawn. Hello, Cliff.
Good morning.
Morning, Cliff.
I'd just like to ask you about my broad bean problems. I'm not the only one in Strawn that's having this. The problem.
Yeah.
Something is eating the bean itself and taking the things out of it, inside of it, yeah. And it's got sort of half round bite marks in it. I wonder if he had no idea what my problem is, yeah.
It can be rodents. The rats or mice will do that.
Right.
Possums usually will take, well, they do so much more damage to it that you know, the plant is usually squashed with them trying to get it. So I'd say it's probably rodents, mice or rats. And yeah. And if they're little round bite marks, although I've got a five-year-old that nibbles on the broad bean, so it might be my five-year-old. I'd say it's your rodent problem. So, however you choose to, again, like the last caller, you could barrier off, or you could set some traps, they're kind of your options. I'm sorry, mate. Broad beans are yummy, and they are coming on now, and everything wants to eat them as well as yourself. So.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. You just confirmed what I thought it was, but I've had to pull them out and throw them away. They were too badly damaged.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. And look, you can plant. You can plant them, and you might still get them up and get some flowers and fruit, but I've seen them go well into summer. But, yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. I wait all winter for my broad beans, and to have them go right at the start of the season, yeah, that's very disappointing. Sorry, mate.
Sorry about that, Cliff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we have been presiding over a rather difficult morning of gardening talk, Zach.
Just those broad beans when you know, there's those people, my partner Joy, she pods them and skins them. I feel this is a waste. If you pick them early and you can just munch them straight, they are beautiful. So,
Claudia from Gladstone says, what's the best way to store yakon sets over winter? Y-A-C-O-N?
Yakon sets, yeah. Look, if it's free-drained soil, you can, leave them in. Putting them in the same way you'd store spuds, you know, put them in a dry, dark place that's out of moisture, and you'll be fine. Yeah.
Serena,
they're lovely, by the way. If you haven't grown yakon, it's like an underground cucumber. So anyway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Serena of Devonport wishes us all a very fun and fruitful Christmas and New Year. Oh, it's not a question. She's bragging about her lemons, thanks to Peter Cundall's advice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I'm good impressed that you've got a candy cane on it hanging from the tree as well. That's always good. Thank you for that one. More questions from people. Oh, no. Here we go. Hi, Tino and Joel. My worries about cherries falling off at Primrose Sands were premature. Great show, thank you. So he sent us a photo through of his cherry tree, and wow, that is looking very healthy. Is that the right amount, or is that getting up towards the too many and you need to pluck a few off early?
It sounds like the tree is actually dropping its own. It's thinning itself. You've got a lot of fruit on there. You could thin some of it out, but it's all red, so I'd probably just leave it to ripen, and you'll get a cracking crop from that. Just maybe next year, look, after... Certainly after this, you start picking, as soon as you finish picking, sorry, I should say, I would give it a prune. You're going to be promoting more next year. What can happen with heavy crops like this on trees is the next year you just don't get as much. So, yeah, giving it a good prune after summer will hopefully mean that doesn't happen.
Fran has given us a call from Moona. Good morning, Fran.
Good morning. How are you?
Lovely. Well, thank wonderful. You.
That's good. Look, I was suggesting that you play Kiss the Rain by Umera. That is beautiful, but it's probably more modern day than you would wish, yeah.
It sounds wonderful, though.
It is. It's just gorgeous. Listen to it in your spare time.
Kiss the Rain.
I was also going to ask you about brown rot. Is there any other way on apricots?
Yes.
Is there any other way of reducing it than picking the fruit off? Because I can't reach them.
At this time of the year, there's not really too much you can do. You could knock the fruit off with a broomstick or something. Usually the control methods, if you're going to spray something, you'll spray sort of during the winter. You can go, you can probably use something like sulfur now, but I don't doubt it will have too much effect on the actual
right.
tree, and you'll probably hurt your fruit. So if you are going to try anything like that, I'd do it after you've picked the fruit anyway. So.
Lovely.
No,
thanks,
sorry.
Tina. No, thank you.
Oh, God.
Lovely.
Thank you, Fran.
Bye.
Phil's in Ellendale. Hello, Phil. What's going on with you?
Hello. The years I've followed Paul Healy's advice and put chaff on the floor of the chook house.
Yes, yep.
But this year it was a bit expensive, so I used pine needles.
Yes, yep.
So now I've got the dilemma that some things won't... I used to put it in the compost, but pine needles, I think, wouldn't work, would they?
Well, no, pine needles broken down, like when they're brown, they make great mulch. And I use them around my strawberries, but they also break down quite well. When they're green, they do contain pine oil, which is a growth suppressant, just as something like eucalyptus leaves contain eucalyptus oil. So that's fine. That can be composted, and that oil won't be a problem once the composting process has gone through its
okay
process.
I normally do use them as a mulch, but with the poultry manure, I'm thinking some things won't like the needles and the other things won't like the manure. So I'm wondering if there's something that could cope with it as a mulch.
With
having poultry manure with the needles. Like rhododendrons probably wouldn't like the poultry manure, would they?
Well, it depends on the poultry manure itself. You know, all manure has different characteristics, I suppose, as far as, you know, it depends what the chickens are being fed, depends on how they're, you know, how they're roaming.
Yeah, they're just free-range chooks, I'm just feeding with grain.
Usually something like wood chip is quite a good one to mix with it, but I think pine needles would be fine as well. If you're putting it in fresh, what I'd be doing is mixing the two together separate from the actual garden bed first, and creating almost a compost with that, and that'll neutralise any negative effects of the poultry manure, like if you mix wood chip through it or even your pine needles, and vice versa, the negative effects of the...
What
to put it around?
What do you put it on?
Any of those... you can use it on anything once it's composted down, but certainly...
straight out of the shed, I can't really use it for anything.
Look, I'd put down my layer of pine needles first and then put my manure on top, and then let the manure break down. And you can do that on any of your evergreen shrubs or any of your perennial plants, and they should be okay. I'd just be watching for anything with a softer leaf might get a little bit of tip burn on it. And certainly I wouldn't be putting it on any of your edible patch. But you'll be fine. Any roses, rhodos, and if you do the layer thing first of your pine needles first and then your fresh poultry manure over the top, that'll give that enough time to leach through and weather, and then you can sort of turn it through and it should be fine for you. Grand.
Right. Okay. Cheers.
No, thank you very
pleasure,
much for that.
Okay.
Ross goes in Linda's farm and he has a troubled plum tree. What's going on with it, Roscoe?
Morning, Joel. Morning, Tino.
G'day, mate. How are we going?
Always good. Always good, especially when you're on top of the dirt. amongst the 35 fruit trees that we've got in our back block, we've got a number of plums. Now, there are three in particular. One is a golden drop.
Yep.
A golden gauge.
Yep.
And a co-something or other.
Coos golden drop.
Coos, that's it.
Yep.
As advised by the nursery from where we purchased the trees, of course, we were running out of space. They suggested we put the three in the one hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we've done.
Yep.
Now, one of them is dominant, and I've got no idea which one it is. And they've been in there about 5 years. They're really healthy. They're so tall now, they're at the stage where they need to be pruned because of the height. But we've not had one single solitary flower or obviously no fruit either. Do we have to hit them around the ears or something to get them to start to produce? What have we got to do?
They haven't flowered at all over the time you've had them in.
No. I mean, occasionally we might get, I think my wife managed to get one ripe fruit. the wind and a little bit of, maybe in total from the three trees, eight.
Oh, that's not right.
And then the wind blows them all off.
So it's not even the one. Right, okay. Yes, you can knock them around the ears. The old technique is to hit them with a stick and bruise them. What you can do is probably this summer. Do they have any fruit on them at the moment?
No, nothing. No.
Look, what they're going to do is they're going to put up a lot of... a lot of lateral growth, a lot of, shoots that go up to the sky. So what I'd be doing is first I'd be pruning in summer I'd be pruning all that lateral growth off and then I'd probably wait for the dominant plant because you'll need to keep that in check. I'd be waiting for that to winter to cut that back, and I'd be cutting that back to dominant one should be cutting back in summer as well, but the less dominant one probably cut it back in winter. Sorry, I'm getting my trees mixed up. Now, as far as the fruiting goes, that will help by pruning in summer. It can promote more flower development in the following spring. And other than that, in the winter, yes, you can walk around your tree and whack it with a stick. And you can even try the old girdling technique with a bit of wire around one of the main branches, not around the trunk if it's the first time you've done it, but just around one of the main branches. Get a little bit of 2 mil wire and just put it around the actual the branch and then tighten it up just so it bruises the bark. And that way you can promote. You can trial it out on the one branch the next year and then do it on all three trees later on if it does work. And it does work, but it depends what other factors are going on with the tree. It sounds like you've got a vegetative problem. You're growing a lot of good plum wood, but not a lot of good fruit. So by doing your pruning in summer, and hopefully, well, if you feed with a bit of blood and bone during the autumn period, and maybe put down a little bit of lime as well, that might help you out. So just to get the tree
all
happy.
Right.
Cool, mate.
Thanks, Dino. So other than that, just hit it with a stick.
And look, I love the whole three, the multiple trees in one hole for small gardens is a great way of going. But yeah, you need to keep the, like on a multi-grafted tree, any tree, you need to keep the more vigorous one in check and be trying to promote the less vigorous one. So yeah, cool, great.
All right.
Thank you. Best of luck with that one.
Okay. Jeez, mate.
Bye. Sarah's in Ranala. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, chaps. Love the program. Wish it was longer. Tino, I moved to Ranala 2 years ago, and I'm trying to fill the yard with as many natives as possible.
Brilliant.
Question is pruning lanky bottle brush. Right. Do I trim beneath the flower, or what do you do, Dale?
Well, you can trim beneath the flower, and you will promote more growth up. Some of them have more growth dominant above that flower spike.
That's right.
So look, you can leave that flower spike on, but I like to make them, I like to sort of either leave that flower spike on and that new growth, you just pinch the tips. Just pinch the top, sort of get your thumb and forefinger and pinch the leaves out. And that way you should stunt that growth, I suppose, and you'll compact the bush a little bit more. Cutting back below that flower can actually be all right too. So, but just don't go into too thick a wood, that's all. I found they just don't like to be cut too hard. It's too brutal. Terrific. Don't be too brutal with them. But, yeah, certainly keeping them less leggy and by pinching those tips out can be a very, very good way of going and a lovely thing to do in the garden as well. It's one of those jobs I look forward to. So.
Absolutely, Dale. And I can do that now, Tina?
Yeah, you could. Oh, look, I'd probably wait for it to flower. But if it is really long and leggy, like, and it's about looks, you could do it now. The plant won't hate you too much for it. But, you could wait for a little while till that flowering period finishes, depending on what cultivar it is. So, yeah.
Terrific.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, Dale, I'll get out and into it. Many thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Sarah. Have a lovely day. Jackie's in South Hobart. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. As first-time caller, could I have two questions?
Well, that's our bonus.
I will allow it.
I've got to run it through Joel, the gatekeeper.
Okay. But first one is, I really like celeriac, but I've not had much luck growing it. It just doesn't get very big. And I know it takes a long time to grow, so I'm just wondering, what's the best time to plant seeds? What's the best time to put it in the garden? And how to feed it?
Good amounts of water. Give it a good amount of feed. You can put the seed in, I think. It's usually over the autumn period you put the seedlings in, and maybe the seed goes in a little bit earlier than that. It's been a few years since I've actually grown it, to be honest. I grew it about 5 years ago. I think that's the case where, you'll over the autumn period, over the late summer period, sow the seed, and then you could even probably do it now and then grow it over the autumn and winter. But if anyone's got a different take on that, have I got that wrong? Please ring in, let us know.
Question two, and he'll try to do better with this one.
But a good amount of feed as well, and a nice well-drained soil, because they do like that water. So just, second question.
second question. I have lots of worm farm juice, but I often hear you talk about fish emulsion. Can the worm farm juice substitute for the fish emulsion, or are they different beasts?
No, fish emulsion's high in nitrogen and phosphorus, so good for sort of overall growth and flower set and all those other things that those two nutrients do. And it's got a lot of other nutrients in it. So it's sort of a power feed. It's pushing your plants along. Whereas the wonderful thing about worm juice is, well, one of the, I suppose, the bad things is it can be, it can range depending on what you're putting into the worm farm. But one of the wonderful things is what it does to your soil biology. You're introducing worm castings and other biology into your soil by just putting that in. So it's a positive thing to put down, and it can have, you know, good amounts of nitrogen and good amounts of phosphorus in it. But again, it just depends on what you've put through it and what consistency it is. So, look, I use them for four different things. I always use my worm juice over my farm, over my soil, and it just for that biological hit, really, but also the nutrients that it brings. But if I'm pushing growth along in something like leafy greens that, you know, that you can push the growth along with, I'll give them a quick feed of fish emulsion, and you know, they gobble it up like, you know, eating a big bowl of spuds or a steak or something.
Right. Okay. Looks like I have to go out and get a bit of fish emulsion then.
Oh, look, if you're worm farming, which area are we in, sorry?
South Hobart.
Look, your soil is probably nutritious enough and of a good enough quality that you could just get away with worm juice, I'd say. But yeah, if you want to push growth along on silver beet or lettuce or whatever, yeah, get a bit of fish emulsion. But it's
not terribly expensive either, fish emulsion. No, you get a bottle and put a tiny capful into a gigantic bucket and so it lasts for a long time.
Just don't have your mouth open when you do that. It tastes awful. It really does. It's
right.
I'm just thinking about
it. I'll keep
it
away from my mouth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. So, Tino, apparently you've managed to miss a bucket and get it into your mouth.
No. You have your watering can and you dollop your little thing in, and the amount of times where I've been talking or I had my mouth open and just a little dollop of water and fish oil comes up and it's like, so magnifique. Also, I'll do a wee bit of homework on that celeriac if we don't get any responders through.
Okay, celeriac, that is for next week. Jill is in Somerset. Hello, Jill.
There you go. Hello, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanting to ask you whether I've planted my summer vegetables too early. I planted them a few weeks ago with a very hopeful heart, but I've got a feeling it's a fruitless exercise.
Yeah, look, it's a lot of people have put their tomatoes in at the right time for their area, or their corn in, and the ground, or their beans even, and the ground has been sort of hot, cold. The overnight temperatures have been sort of fluctuating quite a bit, which a lot of these sort of tender summer crops don't enjoy terribly much. They're like a constant sort of temperature, a nice even temperature. So it's not what we've had so far. I think planting now is fine for a lot of those crops. I've got corn just busting up through the surface. I've got tomatoes that are just going in or have just gone in, and zucchinis as well. But even things like pumpkins that I had grown from seed that, you know, that were quite vigorous and good earlier in the season when we had that little bit of heat, I've put in the garden now and they've just stopped. So, look, you can help them out with a little bit of a cloche covering, you know. If they're small, you can put an old milk bottle with the bottom cut off it over the top, and it just creates that couple of degrees warmer environment around the plant and the soil there, so the plant can actually start to develop. I suspect in some areas it's just too cold. The plant's just not vigorous, and they're unable to take up a lot of that nutrient if the ground is too cold as well. So the uptake is slowed. So, yeah, that's where, trying to warm up your site by putting things like cloches over it can actually help out. So, yeah.
Okay. So, Tino, will they come good if and when the weather warms up, or are they just going to be a failure?
It depends on what you've got. Things like a capsicum and chili, if they're you know, if they're just sort of standing up now, I'd put a couple of cloches over them. They're well worth sort of trying to keep going, but even they can be replanted from seedling, not from seed. Same with tomatoes, though. Different with tomatoes, sorry, I should say. tomatoes, once they stop, they can just stay stopped. And then, you know, even a month worth of warm weather, they'll still struggle to get going. So in that case, if you've got a nursery close by and they've got good solid seedlings, then maybe get it off them. But beware with getting a lot of these seedlings from nurseries. Nurseries are great and they will harden off the seedling. So they make it sort of... it's coming out of a hot house into the nursery, so they'll get it acclimatized for you. But sometimes the conditions from the nursery to your garden can be, different again. Yeah. So you need to acclimatize them to your garden. And that's a couple of days sort of slowly moved out into the position. So, and other than that, even things like corn and zucchini can be planted from seed now. So you're fine with a lot of those crops. So yeah, you'll be right. But again, seedlings will give you a good start. Either way.
All right.
Thank you, Jill. Good luck with that.
Cheers, mate. I hope it gets warmer for you.
Kate from Copping, what's the best way to get woolly aphids off my apple tree?
You can use something like a pyrethrum spray or a horticultural oil. I've used jet blasters in the past. Hose won't really work. It's the pressure's not enough.
It's a Karcher, basically.
But a Karcher, yeah. And so blasting them off with that. But, they do have a protective coating over them. It's like a waxy. Well, they've got the woolly stuff, but there's also a waxy coating. So getting that high-pressure stuff, you need to get in there and actually blast them off. But, yeah, that should work.
Maybe a combo, a blasting then pyrethrum.
Even a hard bristle brush can sometimes help as well. But they usually get into the nooks and crannies, so it's a little bit hard to get to them.
Bob in Craddock says, good morning, guys. My pink eyes are starting to die off. Been in for about three months, but they never flowered.
Oh, okay. I'd have a bandicoot around the base of them and see what you've got there. I'm just about to dig mine up. The flowers are all gone on them. So it may be that they just never got there. But have a look. Have a little bandicoot in underneath them. If they haven't... if they're still healthy and they're still growing well and you're not really don't have great amount of and good sized buds, leave them in. They'll be fine.
Tessa suggests...
Oh, they're dying off. Sorry. dig them up.
Tessa suggests a waltz of the flowers for the garden show. Thank you for that. Kate in Copping says, also into the music, we want frog calls and warbling magpies.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like the poddlebonk, the banjo frog.
The pobblebonk.
Pobblebonk, yeah. Did I say poddlebonk?
Yeah. You said something else. I don't wish to repeat it. It's a family show, Tino, a family show. Bridget says, I have a plague of little black midges in my compost bin. How do I discourage this?
Turn your compost. They're not, a lot of the time they're actually helping break stuff down if they're things like vinegar flies, but just by turning it, you'll discourage them. Yeah. And you'll get your sweat on. It's a good way of going.
Heather in Harrow says, we moved into a place with a big peach tree in 2016, but the fruits have never developed properly. We cut it back severely last summer, but the fruit still seems to have stalled again. Should we just get rid of the tree and start again? Apricots and nectarines here do well. So a peach tree, which has just never quite fruited properly.
I'd suspect that there might be something else going on with it. There might be, again, a viral or fungal problem. Something's stopping the tree. It's obviously setting fruit, but something's stopping the tree from actually getting that far. It might be just, you might have a bit of a numpty tree that just doesn't want to fruit well for you. And, apricots and nectarines in that area, will do very well in Harrow. It's up to you. I'd probably persist and just see what's happening this year. And I'd have a look around to see if there's any other problems, any leaf distortion, any growth distortions on it. And I'd be looking down at the soil as well around the trunk. So
perhaps it's time to give it after one more year, the kiss of death.
Well, yeah, you've got to wait until winter anyway to find a new one. So,
lay the axe on it. Let it know that
the
headsman is coming along on its way. All right.
Oh, Little Wing by Stevie Ray Vaughan. I thought Little Wing was Hendrix, but...
It is a Hendrix, but Stevie Ray Vaughan has done a version of it as well. So, Robin in Tiana, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to know that if Tino and Joel are going to be the flower pot men, who's going to be your third wheel in being the weed?
There's a position open. we've got Andy here, the producer. He's good.
Too true.
I actually have immediate suggestions about who's a bit of a weed, but I'm going to keep them to myself. Robin, what's going on with your lime tree?
Yes, I do. Very quick question there. But it's a friend of mine posted on Facebook this morning, and she said we've had 3 inches of rain in 4 days in the Upper Derwent Valley. And I must admit, a few of my friends do listen on Saturday morning, so I won't say that I'm going stark raving mad because I've been inside so much lately. But it's just been raining for like two and a half weeks practically, you know, with the odd occasional little bit of sun when I race outside.
that's it.
And I've gotten to put the coat on and going outside in the rain anyway, but it's just cold some days, really cold.
It is.
All the veggies are just stopped.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, the growth has slowed to a snail's pace. And you know, with your leafy greens and stuff, that can be really frustrating because you're not getting any food out. And then, you know, with a lot of the problems people are having with their young seedlings, they're just not taking off. So, yeah.
I've got my lime tree in about an 80-centimetre pot. It's huge. It's in my greenhouse. And it went through a little bit of a trial maybe 3-4 months ago. It yellowed a lot of leaves and lost a lot of leaves and everything, and now it's taken off again and it's putting a few leaves on, but it's probably got about 400 to 500 flowers on it, Tino, and it's only about a metre tall, and I'm thinking, should I be taking those flowers off now or just waiting till they drop? Because the tree would drop some of them naturally, wouldn't it?
It would naturally drop them, although sometimes citrus, I've found, can be working their own against their own best interests, I should say, and keep them on and lose all their leaves and then slowly die a horrible death.
Yeah.
pick them off now. I used to do it where I'd pick whole bunches off and I'd put them in a bowl inside. They're a great sort of air freshener. They smell like citrus. So, I'd be going through and picking most of them off. I'd say what's happened is there's been some kind of cold snap that the plant has yellowed off and dropped its leaves, but the low temperature hasn't come back that low again. So yeah, it's been able to recover. So yeah.
Now the only other problem that I've got in the greenhouse is in my potted tomatoes and my little gem lettuces and basil, which I'm growing in pots attached to the wall. Rectangular pots.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got all these little tiny 3 to 4 millimeter long black flies, and they're not actually on the plants. They're actually crawling around in the top of the dirt. And I've attacked them with a spray, like, you know, Econeem or whatever, it's, organic stuff. And I've had a pyrethrum on them too, but they keep coming back.
Yeah, there'd be gnats, I reckon. They're in the soil. So they're coming up, emerging from the soil, from eggs or from their larval stage. They don't do too much damage. Most of your tomatoes, anyway, have got hairy. You'll notice on a tomato they've got quite a hairy stem.
Yep.
That's actually a protection for them, and you'll find gnats just stuck to them, and they'll get no further. So, that's you can continue to control them with the spray job, or you will find there will be some predator that'll probably come and control them for you if left alone. But they tend not to be terribly harmful to your plants. So, no, I wouldn't worry too much about them. But, yeah, they will continue to come up. So you've probably got to – have you put new stuff in there? Have you put, like, fresh compost in or something like that? Or
Every time I put a new – like the lettuces and the basil and everything, every time I do that, I tip the old stuff out, put it in the, the garden or the compost or something and add new potting mix in,
because we used to do a lot of – there were certain potting mixes that we used to I used to plant a lot of plants for indoor offices and indoor spaces. And, yeah, the gnats would always come up and they'd be, I'd always get a phone call 2 days later if I used specific potting mixes that were very high in organic matter and very good potting mixes. It was just they weren't great for indoor flats. You'll be fine. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Robin. Thank you very much for that. Let's see if Pam in Snug can be helped in 3 minutes or less. Hello, Pam.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Tina. And mine, I don't wish to experiment, so I need your knowledge, Tina.
Brilliant. I love experimenting.
I've got a very large circular planter on 4 wooden legs. Now, I want to be able to put a beautiful outdoor plant into the indoor that's got beautiful foliage and flowers.
Yep.
What one may I put in there? It's full sun from early morning until quite quite a few hours after lunchtime.
Yes.
Yes.
And you want it, so foliage and flowers, how high did you want it to get? Like, how much room are we playing with?
I don't mind. It's sort of, it's a large window, a full window. Ooh. It could fill up half quite easily.
Wow. Oh, okay. There's so many options. Something now. I love Luculia. It's out in flower at the moment. It's sort of similar to a rhodo or azalea. Azalea would probably do the trick, although you'd want a sun-tolerant one if it is that much sun. Although if you cut out from that late afternoon sun, you should be okay with that. What else? Orchids are always great inside, although that's not really an outside one coming in.
Which was the first one that you said was very beautiful?
Did I say Luculia first?
Yeah, Luculia.
Luculia is...
Luculia.
Yeah.
Luculia.